AIG rejects a buyout offer from Prudential.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. A few months ago, British-based Prudential Insurance agreed to buy the Asian division of AIG for about $35 billion. Shareholders said that was too much, and Prudential lowered its offer to about $30 billion. Now AIG's saying no dice to the deal. Our very own Amy Scott joins us live from New York to talk about this. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Stacey.
So what's this deal all about, or what was it supposed to be about?
Well, it was supposed to be about raising money to pay back the U.S. government. Remember that AIG was rescued with a $132 billion bailout during the financial crisis?
Right.
Well, back in March, AIG agreed to sell its Asian life insurance arm to the British insurer Prudential for $35 billion. Many Prudential shareholders thought the company was overpaying. This weekend, Prudential asked AIG to lower the price, and this morning, AIG's board said no.
So is the deal dead?
Well, it's not clear yet, but a lot of analysts think yes. The company's shareholders were scheduled to vote next week, but analysts say Prudential will probably walk away.
What does that mean for us, for taxpayers?
Well, it delays AIG's plans to start paying us back that bailout money. Reports say AIG may now return to its original plan to spin off the unit in a public offering, which would take longer than a sale.
Amy Scott in New York. Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
And in what could be a good sign for the economy, small businesses are borrowing more money. Borrowing in April was up 12% from last year, according to a Thomson Reuters PayNet report. And analysts say that could be a good sign. And we could use some good signs. U.S. markets were closed yesterday, but overseas markets are having a pretty dismal morning. Tokyo's Nikkei index shed 0.5%. The Shanghai Composite Index fell 0.9%. London's FTSE is off 0.2%. A lot of that has to do with BP. The British oil giant's stock was off 15% earlier after the latest failure to cap the oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico. BP says the spill has cost it almost $1 billion so far.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender. Monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market. By MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at MassMutual.com/mutuality. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Today is the deadline for states to apply for the second round of federal education funding under the Obama administration's Race to the Top program. States compete for the money, and that is causing some resentment, as Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
Race to the Top has become a slog to the top. In the first round of the competition, 41 states applied. Only two got any money. States are judged on their plans for turning around failing schools and using test scores to evaluate teachers. States had to win over teachers who felt like they were being thrown under the school bus. State lawmakers had to sign off on ambitious reform plans. Some states that went to all that trouble and didn't get any money have decided not to compete in the second round. Jack Jennings directs the Center on Education Policy.
They went through a battle the first time, and they just don't have the stomach to go through another battle in their legislatures a second time.
Jennings says the Education Department should loosen up the strict scoring system it developed for Race to the Top. Joanne Weiss says, no way. She's director of the program.
It is not called Race to the Middle. It's called Race to the Top for a reason.
Winners of this second round of the Race to the Top competition will be announced in the fall. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
This could be the last week of business for hundreds of medical marijuana dispensaries across Los Angeles. LA is cracking down on where people can sell California's biggest cash crop. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
Shops along Venice Beach hawk all kinds of funky things, from big sunglasses and dream catchers to marijuana.
We basically have the best deals on the beach.
A young woman chats up potential customers outside a store called Dr. Kush. Buff guys wave signs behind her that say 420 evaluation and the doctor is in. implying that doctor will write you a prescription for pot.
Yeah, we can do that. That's fine, yeah.
California legalized marijuana for medical use 14 years ago. In the past few years, Los Angeles City Council member Ed Reyes says the number of stores that sell it exploded.
We had as many of these establishments as we had Starbucks.
Actually, more than that. The LA Weekly counted 545 medical marijuana stores last year. The city aims to weed out 80% of them with a new ordinance. Dispensaries that opened after a certain date will have to close by June 7th.
Hi.
California Alternative Caregivers sells medical marijuana from a tan stucco office building about a mile from Venice Beach. Owner Carl Klein says patients have to get buzzed into the building, show ID, then go through winding hallways.
It's kind of a maze here. I had a couple of retired DEA agents help me select a facility.
In a back room, volunteers sell different strains of pot in sealed plastic bottles.
This is an eighth, and this is a gram. All it is just buds.
Klein says he was the first in the city to get medical marijuana printed on his business license. His shop will stay open. Under the new ordinance, though, he did have to notify every resident within 1,000 feet about his business.
We sent out 941 letters, and we got a whole lot of new patients came in. They said, we didn't even know you were there.
The crackdown on medical marijuana has already prompted some businesses to close. Hundreds more pot store owners are seeing their investments go up in smoke. Those that make it through the hazy regulations will be busier than ever. In Los Angeles, I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, you can now use your cell phone like a credit card. Technologies like Looped, Shopkick, Gowalla, and Square actually let you charge things with your cell phone and even let you use rewards programs. It is not free. Square charges a 15-cent fee plus more than 2.5% of the purchase. Just goes to show, technology may come and go, but fees are forever. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.